Good morning. I'm so excited to be with you this morning. This is Becky Spieth, Direct Sales Specialist and the Christian Direct Seller, and I wanted to just share some time with you. One of the things that I did last week is I went and I did several expos. I did an expo Thursday, I did one Friday, I did one Saturday, and then it's just been an amazing whirlwind. But I coached nonstop all day long at all of the events, and all evening long for the one on Friday. And it was really powerful. I sat with, oh my goodness, at least 100 direct sellers over the last week, and not including my regular clients, as well as other people that wanted to sit down and have some business coaching, and some people that were concerned because they had fears of speaking and wondered, could I coach them and support them and being able to do more speaking. And it was just like a powerful, powerful time. But one thing that I heard over and over again is, I want to have greater commission. And the Lord just sparked my heart that this would be a really great study to do on how we can have the greatest commission. And as I was doing that, the Lord, and even through our sermon that we had yesterday at church, the Lord just kept speaking to my heart that He's given us the greatest commission and He's given us the example. As leaders, we are to set the example for our teams, right? And for, I don't know about you, but for me, I learn best if I can watch someone. So I'm not really sure who to, you know, watch or what to do, except for if I'm not certain who's the master, I go to the master, right? Jesus. So as I was looking up different scripture and thinking about, you know, what would Jesus do if He wanted to have greater commission? And He gave us a perfect example because He told us and He lived out a life of leadership and servanthood. To have the greatest commission, the greatest influence, the greatest reward, what did He tell us to do? Well, we're going to talk about that today. So that might not be what you thought I was going to say. I'm sure you were thinking, oh, she's going to give us the secret to wealth. Well, you know, I've done lots and lots of messages on what does the Word say about wealth and prosperity, and what does He want for our businesses. And if you want more of those scriptures, there's a product on my webpage called The Word on Business, Speaking Success Scripturally. It's a great MP3 download or CD. And it goes into, you know, those kind of scripture affirmations that you can, you know, speak over your life and speak over your business. But the Lord really wanted me to talk to you specifically today about true leadership, servanthood, as well as the two commissions He's really given us. And I've got one from the Old Testament, I've got one from the New Testament. But before we jump into our study today, I'm going to go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, thank You so much for Your love, Your grace, and Your mercy. Thank You that You've brought us together, that we have strength and laughter and soundness of mind, Lord, and soundness of body. As we go forth today, I pray that You will just help to take the scales off of our eyes, unplug our ears, circumcise our heart anew. Holy Spirit, speak through me Your supernatural wisdom and strength and direction. Lord, I just praise You and I thank You that You are going to give us a divine revelation that's specific for each one of us to hear today. Lord, I thank You that You use me. Lord, I pray that You will completely speak through me, that it would not be anything that of my own, Lord, but it would only be You. Give me supernatural recall of Your Word and Your Scripture, and speak to Your children, Lord. We want to hear You. We want to be closer to You. We want to have a great week that is higher and closer to You than we've ever had before. We love You and we praise You. In Jesus' name, amen. So thinking about commission and true servanthood and leadership, think about Jesus. You know, honestly, He was the greatest leader of all time. And even if you're not a person of the Christian faith, how could you deny this, right? Think about it. This is how many years since Jesus? Way more than 2,000 years since then. My mind can't even comprehend or put my brain around what 2,000 years is like. I haven't even hit 50 yet, and I'm thinking it's forever because it's been my forever. But He's one that He said right from the get-go that He came that we could have life abundantly. And how did He model it for us? He became the greatest servant of all. He laid His life down. He was a the deity of the universe. And he came to this filthy world to love us, to show us in skin the amazing attributes of God. To me, that's just unbelievable. I think that I can't even get my mind around it. So let me ask you this. If that's the case, and we want to emulate who Jesus is, and we want to emulate this leadership, we want to emulate that servanthood, we want to have that greatest commission that we could possibly have, what are you doing to show people Jesus? And as you're doing it, are you making Jesus attractive? Now, I want you to take just a minute. I want you to think about just this last week, okay? You probably had a busy week just like I did. I mean, it was like definitely in the top 10 probably of the busiest weeks of my life. And we were launching so many new projects and working with new people, and I was traveling and I was on the highway and I was in lines waiting. I mean, there were so many different parts, and they all had to sync up as close to perfect as possible. Have you ever had one of those times? And if there's one little chink that goes wrong, it kind of messes everything up. I had to purpose in my heart to make sure that I made Jesus look attractive. That was the other thing I thought was kind of strange this week, because I was working with different people and coaching them, and I had a table and things, but person after person said, well, when I saw you, I knew I had to come talk to you. Or when you walked in the room, I knew you were somebody I had to know. Well, I'll tell you, to be really honest with you, the very first day, it was downpouring. It was raining. I was running late. We had some different computer issues. We had some staff issues. There was just like all these little things going wrong. I woke up early because I thought, you know, you just never know how things are going to go. And I was still running about 5 or 10 minutes late. And it was downpouring. And you've never been in Texas, I've never been a place on earth where the rain is as big as it is in Texas. They say everything's bigger in Texas. Well, I have to tell you, the drops here are humongous. And when it rains, it's not just like a rain, it's torrential downpour. And because we don't get rain very often and we're sitting on limestone, there's no place for it to go, so it floods instantly. So here I am trying to get my little Prius unloaded with all my stuff, and it's just packed to the gills. And I'm a hot mess. And people, when I walked in the room, came over and they said, you are somebody I need to meet. And I'm thinking, you got to be kidding me, right? And literally, at that moment, the air conditioning wasn't working in the venue. I had on a leather jacket. I was just dripping. I don't really even sweat, and I was dripping in sweat. I'm just trying to give you a picture of the whole situation. All I can say is it wasn't that they needed to come see me, but evidently there must have been something of Jesus that was shining through. And I'm sure you've got similar stories too, where even in the what seems to be the craziest circumstances, you're making Jesus look attractive to people. They're being drawn to you because they're being drawn to him. So I'm going to encourage you. Maybe you didn't have one of those times this last week. Maybe you did lose it in traffic or waiting in line. What drives me crazy is waiting in line at the pharmacy or someplace where they just don't ever seem to have it all together. Or you go to the doctor's office and you wait for 2 hours past your appointment time because the doctor's running late. Are you showing Jesus there? Are you making him attractive? What about at the grocery store? What about with setbacks and obstacles and work or family? Or what about with your team? You know, come on, I'm going to be really honest. What about that person that says they want the business and they never really do anything with it, right? Are you making Jesus attractive? Are you showing how Jesus would serve them? Have other people looked at your life and saw Jesus, and have they desired it? I want to go to a couple of verses here, and let's kind of look at this. Some people, instead, they instead of being that person that is really showing Jesus, they want to, like, you know, self-promote and make sure they're getting their rightful place, right? So let me just go back to Mark 10, 43 through 45, and I'm reading out of the message for this passage. It says, when the other 10 heard of this conversation, they lost their tempers with James and John. I want to set the scene for you. They're all, like, hanging out with Jesus, and then all of a sudden it dawns on them, you know what, Jesus might not be around forever, and it's looking like he's building a pretty strong kingdom here because people are starting to, you know, really get to that point where it looks like they're going to be following him. They got a pretty big crowd, and they're thinking, well, you know, Jesus handpicked us, so we're the dream team, right? And I want to make sure that we get our place and our position. Now, before I go any further, how many times has this happened in your business, especially in direct selling, right? Where people are jockeying and vying for that position, right? Well, this is what they did, and they thought they were entitled to this because, you know, they'd work really hard. And, you know, they were brothers, and they were keeping it together. They weren't, you know, running off at the mouth all the time like Peter. And they thought they were the likely choice to have the two top places, the one on the right hand and the one on the left side, because they wanted to be seen as a person of power and influence. Have you ever wanted to be a person that was seen as a person of power and influence? I know I have. I don't jockey for that place anymore because this really struck my heart some years ago, but think about that. So let's see. When the other 10 heard of their conversation, they lost their tempers with James and John. Jesus got them together to settle things down. Okay, here's the dream team. I picked all of you. There's only 12 of you on the whole planet, right? That you're my inside circle. You're the dream team. He says, you know what? You've observed how godless rulers throw their weight around, he said. And when people get a little power, how quickly it goes to their heads. It's not going to be that way with you. Whoever wants to be great must become a servant. Whoever wants to be first among you must be your slave. That's what the Son of Man has done. That's what I've done. I've come to serve, not to be served, and then to give away my life in exchange for many who are held hostage. Is that what you're willing to do? I know when I was building my team in the field, this was what I wanted to do. We actually called our team name Becky's Blessings because I wanted everyone to be a blessing to someone else, regardless of what the capacity was. And our growth was astronomical. We were adding people to our team that we didn't even really know, and people were drawn to us because they were seeing Jesus lived out in us. Think about that. This is what Jesus said. Stop trying to jockey for that position. Now, he does want you to be a person of power and influence, but he wants you to do it the right way. He wants you to do it by being a servant to others. Let's look at what Jesus said about himself. He said in John 4:34, he said, the food that keeps me going is that I do the will of the one who sent me. God sent him, right? That's what keeps him going, finishing the work that he started. As you look around right now, wouldn't you say that in about 4 months, it's going to be time to harvest? Well, I'm telling you to open your eyes. Take a good look at what's right in front of you. These Samaritan fields are ripe. It's harvest time. It's your harvest time for your business. And how are you going to do that? You're going to do that by serving. There are people waiting for you and your businesses. If you stop trying to jockey for position and trying to be seen as a person of power and influence, and you started truly serving other people, you would be bringing in all of these other people. Your teams would be growing like crazy, and you'd be reaping the harvest. And guess what? You wouldn't have to worry about being seen as a person of power and influence. You wouldn't have to be worrying about having higher commissions. You would be having them because you'd be doing it the way that the Lord said, right? You know, think about this. Now, I want to be really serious here. At this point, they could be a little bit, you know, frustrated and say, well, it's not up to me to, you know, make everybody, you know, happy. Think about this. Have you ever been around somebody where you just felt like you wanted to whip out your bottle of anointing oil and just say, you know what, I want to anoint you with the oil of gladness? Because they've been really grouchy and grumpy. Think about serving that person. Now, I've just said that as a joke. I really don't want you grabbing your essential oil of happiness or joy and whipping it out and saying, hey, you know what? I need to anoint you with this because you need to be anointed with the oil of gladness because you need it. Instead, serve them. Let the oil, the Holy Spirit's oil, drip off you onto others. You know, I promise you, if you start doing more serving, you're going to be lifted up. And, you know, servanthood is really a badge of strength and strength of character. Think about this. This is another example. John 13:12-17. This is, they're getting to the end of Jesus' life, and he's lived a life of servanthood, and he's instructed them. He's worked with them. They're the dream team, right? He's picked you, too. You're the dream team. But let's go to the upper room, okay? So tradition is you walk in the upper room, and while you're there, you walk in, and there's usually a servant at the door, and they've got a big basin of water because it was dusty and dirty, and they had sandals. We call them chanclas here in San Antonio. But what happens is you can get pretty dusty feet, right? Well, think about that. They've probably traveled a ways. They're coming in for the Passover. They got to make sure they've got clean feet. So they have a servant there. Well, when they got there, they had rented the room, had everything prepared for them because they knew that they wouldn't be able to do this. They didn't really have women that would be going and doing this for them. So they sent ahead. But guess what? There was a glitch. Something didn't go quite right, just kind of like what we were talking about. So here they are. They come in. They're kind of exhausted. They're a hot mess, and they're dirty. So they walk in the door, and where's the servant? Well, the servant's not here. Well, they kind of stand and look at each other. She's like, well, we know. You know, Jesus said he's, you know, just had the triumphant entry into the city, and he's telling us that, you know, his time is near to the end. But you know what? Right now it looks like everybody's singing Hosanna to the King of Kings, and so I want to make sure I'm getting my place. So none of them want to wash the feet because that's what a servant does. That's what the slave does. So they look at each other, well, not me, well, I don't know about you, but it's not going to be me because I'm going to get the right hand or the left hand of Jesus. How many times have we done that? Let's read what Jesus said. He says, if you've had a bath in the morning, you only need your feet washed now, and you're clean from head to toe. My concern, you understand, is holiness, not hygiene. So now you're clean, but not every one of you. So what did he do? He's gone and he's probably said, you know what, just give me the towel. I've got the basin. I'd be happy to do this. He knew that someone was going to betray him. That's why he said, not every one of you. Now, after he had finished washing their feet, he's the greatest one. He was just hailed King of Kings. After he washed their feet and knelt at their feet, he took his robe, he put it back on, and he went back to his place at the table. And then he said, do you understand what I've done to you? You address me as teacher and master, and rightly so. That's what I am. So if I, the master and the teacher, washed your feet, you must now wash each other's feet. I've laid a pattern for you. What I've done, you do. I'm only pointing out the obvious. A servant isn't ranked above his master. An employee doesn't give orders to the employer. If you understand what I'm telling you, act like it. And listen to this. This is the blessing. If you do this and you act and you do and model what I've told you to model and become the greatest servant of all, he says, I'm telling you, if you act like it and live a blessed life, you're going to live a blessed life. Who wants more commission? Who wants to have more of a blessed life? We all do, or you wouldn't be on the call or listening to the replay. Well, let's take this just a little step further. Realizing, you know, we don't have to fight for that position of honor because serving gives us the fuel for our tank. We lead and we love by serving. Jesus didn't place himself above others, did he? But he did fulfill the work he was assigned. So what have we been assigned to? 2 Chronicles 7:14 tells us in the New Living Translation, then if my people who are called by my name, that's you, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and restore their land. We need to humble ourselves. We need to pray. We need to seek his face. Many of us are involved in fasting right now. We do a fast at the beginning of the year. We're seeing miracle after miracle. What if we did this all year? If we humbled ourselves and we prayed? Then it tells us in Matthew 28:16-20, this is right when Jesus is ready to go up in the clouds. This is what he says. This is the last great commission. This is what he tells us. This is our greatest commission. Then the 11 disciples left for Galilee, going to the mount where Jesus had told them to go. He says, meet me here. This is what I want you to do. So they did. They obeyed, okay? They trusted him and they obeyed. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some of them doubted. So Jesus came and told his disciple, I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, here it is, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you, and be sure of this, I'm with you always, even until the end of the age. So what he's told us to do, he's told us to humble ourselves, to pray, to seek him, to go out, not wait for people to come to us for our business, not to wait for other people to come to us. We are to go out, right? We're supposed to meet them where they're at. And we're supposed to go and we're supposed to make disciples of them. Teach them to be servants as well. Increase their influence. Teach them shoulder to shoulder just like Jesus did, making disciples of them, also sharing the word with them, because we would be sharing the word and bringing them to salvation so that we can baptize them and to teach them to obey all the commands that he's given us. That truly is the greatest way to have the greatest commission, is to follow the greatest leader. I'm going to go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, thank you so much that when we cry out to you, Lord, how can we be a better leader? How can we bring more people to our business? How can we have greater commissions? You answer our prayer. It's by making you attractive to others. It's by serving others. It's by trusting, obeying, humbling ourselves, staying in prayer. Lord, it's by seeking your face, turning from our wicked ways. When you lay something on our heart, Lord, we ask forgiveness right now for all of those things that maybe you've whispered to our hearts and we've continued to walk in that sin. Lord, I know you're setting people free right now, and I thank you for that. I feel it, Lord. I feel the anointing going forth. There are captives that are set free, prisoners that are broken free because of what you've done. Lord, we know that you're hearing our voices. We know that you're forgiving our sins and that you are restoring our land back to us, our businesses back to us, our families back to us. Lord, help us to be more faithful. Help us never to doubt. May everyone's faith increase and doubt be gone in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you that you've given us all authority in heaven and earth to do even greater things than what you've done. Help us to be faithful to disciple your people, to share the gospel, to baptize, and to teach others to obey all the commands that you've given us, Father God. Lord, I praise you and I thank you that there is freedom today. There is healing today. There is a new level of leadership and an anointing of leadership and servanthood that's being passed forward in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you that you're covering us, Lord, and you're protecting us. Lord, I pray that specifically for Rebecca and for each family represented, Lord. Lord, I pray that you will set James free, that you will see him, Lord. Lord, I pray as those that are working on homework or new assignments or setting forth a new plan to be more faithful to you, Lord, that you will help them to complete this. Help them not to doubt. Help them not to listen to the voice of the enemy that they haven't been in school for a while or they don't know. Lord, they know because you've given them their spiritual DNA and their spiritual destiny. And Lord, right now in Jesus' name, I command Bonnie's tendons to function properly. Loose her and let her free. In her feet and her legs, we rebuke tendonitis. We loose upon her flexibility. We loose upon her a life that is free of pain. Lord, we lay the pain at your feet because you already said you took it. Lord, forgive us for picking it back up. We declare in Jesus' name, she is healed from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet. Lord, you've told us that in the Word that when you did miraculous healings, that you told people to test. So, Lord, I just pray that you will help her to have the faith to test this out, that you told the crippled man, get up and walk. Help her to have that faith to believe for her healing, Lord. I know she's receiving it now in Jesus' name. We thank you, Jesus, for her healing. We thank you for the lives and the bodies that are healed. We thank you for the unsaved loved ones that are being called to you, that they can only hear your voice, that you would send godly men and women to speak into their lives continually. We rebuke the darkness, Lord, and we call forth light, that they can see your light and be drawn to your light. Lord, I ask that you would help us to be more faithful, to be your light, to be that truthful bringers of light that you've created us for. Lord, we thank you for an amazing week that we can serve you for this week. We thank you for amazing businesses and lives that are transformed and lives that are changed. Thank you, Lord, that we don't have to jockey for position. And if we've done that in the past, Lord, I ask forgiveness now, that we can walk in what you've called us to do, to be, to have, and to give. Lord, I thank you that we are always grateful but never satisfied, always desiring more of you. We praise you and we give you the glory. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.